I feel your presence, Lord, both within me and around. We know that today is a day that you have ordained to bring about some changes in lives, revelation, transformation, a new beginning, actually, for some people. As we venture away from old dead religion into the life of the Spirit of Christ, and we put behind us the old ways, the old thinking, and come alive in the newness of life in Christ Jesus. Thank you for your eternal word, but thank you that the word is alive in flesh, and his name is Jesus, and he's come to us in the Spirit of the Lord, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Right now, we pray for a depth of understanding beyond what we have known before, but not just understanding. We desire that it become life to us, not just head knowledge. We pray for your teaching us, Holy Spirit, this morning. Open up the hearts of all who are here, all who will hear and see this word, that Christ would be all in all. We ask that in his holy name. Amen. I don't know where to begin. I'm so excited about everything that God has continued to show me, but not only show me. I think the most important thing I can say is the word has become life, and the things that I have been teaching you, I've been experiencing, and until you experiencing them, they're just dead orthodoxy. And so I'm praying for you today that you have a magnificent change that goes from here into here and throughout your whole being, that you experience more of God in you than you've ever experienced before. I just heard from one of our sisters about a young man who has battled drugs and on and off, and it seems that the least provocation that happens to him, he reverts back to his comfort zone, which is drugs. And the reason he does that is he doesn't know God yet. He has trusted Jesus to be his Savior, but he doesn't know salvation. Do you know the difference yet? It's an experience. And because of that, and I'm not criticizing him, it's just where he's at. But one of these days, a change is going to take place, and he's going to move from information to life, just like all of us must. We must know the life of Christ in us. Or after a while, religion becomes dry and dull and lifeless, and we think, what's the point? I'm no better than I was 10 years ago. I'm still doing the same old stuff. Well, that's about to change. Let's go to John 14. Several weeks back, I taught you from John 14, which is the theological treatise that Jesus taught about the Godhead, without sounding, over spiritual or too deep theologically. It's really very simple. Jesus taught about the Trinity in John 14, and he taught specifically about how he and the Father and the Holy Ghost would live in us, and that we have become, this is going to trouble some, the mansions of God are not in some place in heaven. The mansions of God are the dwelling places of God here. You and I become mansions. That's what it says. We will make our abode. The word abode is mansion. I will dwell there with you. So a lot of change is taking place because of what I have seen in the history of religion, of Christianity, what I call a detached belief, meaning God is always there and we are always here. But God came from there to be here, not only here, but in here, in us. And that's the theology of the New Testament. That's the big change from the old to the new. But most Christians still practice what I call detached Christianity, of me here, God there. I pray, he answers. He's there, he brings information, solution, and things back to me. And there's a limited appreciation of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Well, we're changing that. We're seeing a change take place in all of that. So, in John 14, he says in verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. So, 2 weeks ago, I taught on Jesus being the way. There's a difference between a way, and the way. You change the article, and it makes all the difference in the world. Jesus did not say, I am a way. He said, I am the way, the only way, the one way. There are no other ways. But in our thinking, for example, there are roadways, routes, courses of actions, my way, a method, ways of people, the way things are, the way things are done, the right way, the wrong way. And we tend to think in terms of ways, a bunch of ways. All of them are activities, and all of them are things. Things. Things we do, things we think about, and consequently act upon. And we tend to think of all the ways we have lived. And in religion, in Christianity particularly, people want to change their ways. When you are about to attempt to change ways, you're already off course. God never intended you to change your ways. He intended Jesus to be your way. Stop and think about that. I am the way, he said. I'm not a way. All the ways that I just mentioned are established patterns, but Jesus, when he said he is the way, means that we let him be the way of our life and that we end up living the way he intended us to live. If we do not let him be the way of our life, we will manufacture our way. It's the default of humanity. We will revert to what we think the way we should go is. And that's what we do. In fact, we'll even use the Bible to determine a way. So, in other words, we're out of the way. We're not in his way. He's not the way. We have made our own way. And God doesn't intend for us to be our own people that way. This is just by review. But again, like I have said so many times, and this is true with me, repetition is the key to learning. I have to go over this stuff 100 times more than you do, or I don't even feel comfortable beginning to teach you about it. First and foremost, I want to experience it rather than just tell you about it, because I feel a whole lot more comfortable saying, oh, I've experienced this. I am experiencing this. So, today we're going to look at the two other aspects of this scripture. And that is the truth and the life. Jesus said all three. And if we look at them, they're kind of connected. The way, the truth, and the life, they all become wrapped up together. He is saying to us, I'm going to show you how to live. Okay? I'm going to show you how to live. All right, let's look at the truth. Everybody in the world is in search of truth because we believe if we know the truth, we will have an advantage in life. We will gain a leg up, a foothold. We'll make advancement. Information, as they tell us in the world system, education is power. It's very important for you to know the truth because the truth will, and many times people quote the scripture, the truth will set you free. Most people misuse that scripture. That's not what Jesus meant. I'll get to that in a little bit. All right? The world uses that. In fact, I've seen it used politically by people who haven't got an ounce of faith in Christ. Have said that about other politicians. They have used it when they want to accuse people or criticize them or whatever. So, Pontius Pilate was very cynical. When Jesus was talking to him before his crucifixion, Pontius Pilate said, what is truth? He had come to a place in his life where he didn't know what to believe and what to think anymore. He was desperate. He was aged. And sometimes people come to places like that in their lives where they say, I give up. People tell me to believe this. People tell me to believe that. I don't know what to believe anymore, they say, especially when it comes to religion. Why are there so many different denominations? What is all that about? Who am I to trust? Who am I to believe? How am I going to find my way in life? And we often revert back to the simplest systems that we know, just so we're comfortable. But Jesus said, I'll show you that truth is in me. In fact, that's what it says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 21. Paul says to the Ephesian church, he said, the truth is in Jesus. Oh my gosh, that's an amazing thing. In him. That's how Jesus could say, I am the truth. Truth is in me. And Paul went on to say, you have heard them and you have been taught by him. He was saying something very important, that when he was teaching the Ephesian church, that as he taught, it was Christ doing the revelation to the people. So essentially, we are taught by Christ, who is the Word. He is the Word. You cannot separate him. And so, really, right now, I hope you're hearing the Spirit of the Lord in you, helping you understand these things. I'm going to reinforce that with you. It's a practice, a very important practice, on how to pay attention to the internal God who lives and dwells in us. So, we come to this point. Truth is a person. He is different from just knowing truth. He is truth. So how is that going to affect us? Well, let's first of all understand this, that great teachings about truth have not affected us a whole lot. We have accumulated information. But that kind of information that we get, even religious information, may not be lasting transformation. It becomes great dialogue among Christians, but has it really become life change? You know what I'm talking about? We say things that we have heard that have been perhaps preached to us or that we've read, and we communicate them back and forth as if we really are experiencing them. But the reality is, the person in us will make them real, Christ. Our tendency, mine included, has been, once I learn something, I then have to do it. Isn't that true? Since I learned it, I must do it. No, here in this life with Christ, once we learn it, meaning we have discovered it, it's become a revelation to us, now we let Christ in us live it. And he lives it through us. And it's effortless. Whereas, when we try to do it, it's a lot of work. It's always a lot of work. It's always a lot of effort. But we can only do all things through Christ, who lives in us and moves in us and has his being in us. For us to live is Christ, says the apostle. That's why some of us fail time and time and time again. We fail over and over. Because we've not let him be our life. Millions of people know Jesus. They know that he went to the cross, that he is the, quote, leader of Christianity, that he died for the sins of all mankind, and yet nothing has changed in them. That's information only. You and I can imagine him on the cross. We can imagine him being buried in the tomb. We can even think about him descending into hell. We haven't seen him raised, but we can think about him being raised and ascending into heaven and then coming back in the Holy Spirit. But until we allow him to be life in us, all that is just distant information. It's out there. It happened. It's 2,000 years old. But now, all of a sudden, that person and all of what he has ever done and all that he can be to us, and all the wisdom and righteousness and truth comes and dwells in us and lives in us and lives through us. You can't imagine this with your mind. It's got to be faith. It's not logical. I've been saying this over and over. It's not logical to me, but I am experiencing it by faith. My mind wants to contend with it and think, how is that reasonable? And the answer is, it's not reasonable. It's not supposed to be reasonable. It's faith. Praise his holy name. Look at John 5 and verse 39. Jesus was disputing with the Jews, and it was not an easy time for him or for them. And he said to them in John 5 and verse 39, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me," meaning the scriptures testify of Jesus Christ. All scripture points to him. And in verse 40 it says, "But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life." So if all the scriptures point to him, that he is that life, then the choice is either to let him be your life or not. And that problem exists with Christians today. We know all these wonderful scriptures, and oftentimes we say, well, I'll apply them to my daily living. And Jesus is saying, no, those words that you're reading and studying and hearing, they are leading you to me who dwells in you. Now let me be your life. What a great difference. Do you see the difference? It's not only important to see it, it's better to experience it. Let's talk about life. In all of creation, there is a flow to life. If we stop and think about the wonder of God's creation, we see there's something natural, easy, flowing, and I like the word spontaneous. Life is meant to be spontaneous, not struggling to, what do I do next? How shall I do this? I did it that way once before. Maybe I could do it again that way. I don't know. Maybe I should check with all my friends, and maybe I should get some counsel. And, of course, there are times when counsel is going to be helpful. But there are so many times when nobody's around to give you any counsel, except for the one who lives in you. Right? So in life, we see this wonderful flow. Birds fly. Dogs bark. Rain comes. I eat when I'm hungry. My heart beats. My lungs work. Everything is effortless. God created us to live an effortless, spontaneous life without a lot of struggle. I just feel the weight that so many of you are under of how to do life because you've got it in your own hands. I don't want to live that way anymore. Do you? Aren't you tired? Are you tired? I'm tired of living that way. I gave that up. I don't want to live that way. I want to let Christ be all. I want him to be my life. Don't you? I don't want to be in control. Control is too much work. It is. I don't want to chart my own course. I don't want to be like a captain of industry. I don't want to follow the way of the world. I want to follow the Lord. And the only way I can follow him is not by doing my own thing, reading the scriptures and then applying them to my life and churning out my activity. I want to live in the flow of spontaneous, present life of Christ. Yeah. There is ease to existence. Everybody say ease. You're going to go out of here today with more ease of life. Ease of life. Spontaneous. Look at how Jesus lived. I'm just going to read a couple scriptures. First of all, let me ask you this. Have you ever just read the scriptures and watched the flow of life of Jesus? Have you ever taken the time to just say, wow, he just moved from here to there. He didn't pause. He just did this, then he did that, and he moved. And it all seemed so effortless and flowing and fluid. And he had the Father in him, and the Father would urge and nudge and impress him. He said, Jesus said, I only do those things that I see the Father do. It didn't mean that he was seeing the Father actually do something. He was seeing as a perception the will of the Father at the moment. And he had no trouble not doing anything, which is a problem with us. We want to do something all the time. That was not true with the Lord. He was at ease with himself. He heard the Father. There was impressions and thoughts that came to him by the indwelling Father. And he perceived what he wanted to do, and he would get up in a moment and go do it. Let me just read a couple of scriptures. Mark 1:38. Let's go to the next town. It doesn't say that he sat down, prayed, counseled for a day or two, fasted. He just had the impression of the Holy Spirit in him. Let's go to the next town. Don't you find that when people get together, couples, friends, whatever it is, when you do things spontaneously, you have a whole lot more fun? Isn't it exciting to live that way? It's just life. And then he said, rise up. Let's go, because he who betrays me is coming. Let's go. There was a spontaneity to it. Let's go to the other side of the lake. What I see the Father do, I do. Meaning everything about his life was effortless. And if we go all the way back to the garden, when the Father told Adam, he said, look, you can live in this out of the tree of life, or you can live out of this one here, which is a do and don't tree. Do this, don't do that. This is right, that's wrong. When you get into that, all of a sudden you've got into a sticky place. Because every time you go into a do this or don't do that, or you have to stop, you have to think, you have to weigh, you have to deliberate, you're halting, there's no ease, you're struggling, you're wondering. And oftentimes you make the wrong decision because you're in control. Whereas the Father said, just eat out of this tree. It's easy. It's spontaneous. Go there when you're hungry. These are metaphors. There were no actual trees. You understand? There was just choice. And the one choice was simple. Live with me like I live. We can flow together in the cool of the day. We can walk together. We can talk together. I'll show you things. I'll reveal things. You can ask me questions, and we'll have fellowship. Or you can depart from me because I'm your life and go over here and make your own life. That's the choice that he gave to Adam and Eve. And the devil said, well, if you go over here and you choose your own, you'll be like God. Don't you want to be like God? Yeah, why not? Let's give it a try. Bingo. That was the end. Off you go. You got no more fellowship with me. Simple, isn't it? The gospel's not a struggle. It's an easy thing. Christ came to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. And life is what this is all about. We only got a few years here. And then we begin eternity with the Lord. It'll be a different time, a different way. But right now, he wants us to begin to experience real, true, present life. There are many different ways to live. People tell you how to live. They've got all plans for you. You can go to seminars. You can figure out your future. They'll tell you how to invest money. There are people who tell you how to live, where to go to live, what kind of houses to buy, where to work, what's the best job, how much money you should make, who you should marry. Right? And so we're presented with all these questions. And I'm not saying you won't be presented with them. The difference is when we let the one who is living in us be our life, he'll direct us in these things. He will always direct us in the truth. When I came to Christ, when I first met the Lord, he came into a room where I was struggling and just absolutely desperate in my own life, struggling to find a way that I could succeed. And he came into the room, a motel room where I was. I'm going to repeat this to you so you know how truthful this is. And I realized he was there. And I said this, Lord, what do you want of me? That was my confession of salvation right then and there. You understand? I didn't know any spiritual laws, but I knew God had come. I knew the Lord had come into my room, and I'd heard enough about my condition. I knew I wasn't in a good place. And I said to him, Lord, what do you want of me? And he spoke to me and he said, I will show you. And that's what he wants to do with all of us. I will show you. Not just because we kneel down and pray in a desperate moment, but in every moment of our lives. Let me give you a little illustration. Jesus said in John 7, he said, when you receive the Spirit, he was talking before he would ascend to heaven and send back the Spirit in which he came. He came back in the Spirit. He said, then when the Spirit of life is living in you, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. So I've thought about that, and the Lord led me to an illustration of how it is that Christ lives in you, because you're not always conscious of him, are you? Right now, you may not be conscious of him. You can't be conscious of him all the time, but that doesn't mean he's not there all the time. He doesn't come and go. He stays. He dwells. This is his home. You and I have become his dwelling place. So he's like a river in us. Do you know about underground rivers? There are such things. There are underground rivers that flow often in cave areas. You don't see them. They're hidden in a cave. They're full rivers flowing fast. And every now and then that river will surface and become apparent. And it'll come up on ground and it'll travel for a while and then disappear back underground. There are a lot of rivers like that, especially in the Southwest. That's how it is with the Holy Spirit, with Christ in us. We become aware of his presence when he surfaces in our daily activities at a moment when you didn't realize that you could do what you did because Christ in you has all of a sudden done it. Listen to me. I am doing things today that I once struggled to do. I used to say, oh God, why can't I do this? And he said to me, because you're not supposed to. I'll do it in you. I am your life. I remember, if you go back into the Old Testament to Abraham, God was making promises to Abraham, this, that, and the other. And he said, Abraham said to God, well, what's going to be the sign that you're going to do all these things? And God said to him, Abraham, I am going to be your exceeding great reward. Me, myself, and I. And that's the way it is for us. Me has come to live in me. The one who is life has come to take up life here in us. And while I'm not always conscious of his presence, he is always in me, present. And if I trust him, then spontaneously the things I struggle to do, I do naturally. And I wonder, like, wow, I never used to do that. I used to, in fact, I got to tell you some personal things. Every morning, Andrea says to me, honey, will you take the clothes out of the dryer? Just something in our household, okay? She doesn't want to bend down. She makes me do it. Now, I'm taking the clothes out of the dryer without thinking. Not because it's a learned experience. No. I haven't been trained to do it. I still wouldn't like to do it if I thought about it. But I don't think about it. I do it. And when I do it, I realize that Christ in me is doing it because I made a decision that he would help me be what I should be. Now all of a sudden he's doing that. I put away the dishes. I don't like to put away dishes. There's a lot of things I don't like to do, but I'm doing. All of a sudden, Christ in me is doing them through me, with me, and I'm giving him glory. And that's the way it should be. And there's a triumph in that. There's an ease to it. I don't struggle. I didn't sit down and pray, oh, God, should I take them out of the dryer or what? You know, that, it happens. Life is happening. It's spontaneous. It's flowing. It's free. It's lovely. It's easy. It is. It's better that way. Stop trying to do what God wants to do in you and through you. Get out of the way. Lay it down. Trust him. Here's what I want you to do today. Hear what God is saying to you. Listen very clearly. Think about the things you're hearing. Go back to the scriptures and look them over. Ask Holy Spirit to help you. Then, by faith, declare to yourself and to the Lord, Christ is going to live in me. Like Paul said, the life that I now live by faith, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me, who died for me, who gave his life for me. It's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. You're still alive. You're going to be a person. You're not going to lose your personhood. He made you and created you to be wonderfully unique. Nobody else like you. And at the same time, he wants to dwell in you and live through your uniqueness. But he will still be all and all. So don't worry about identity. Let Christ be your identity. For me, for Christ to live is everything in me. I've learned that after over 50 years. Now I can say, the joy of living is that Christ is living in me. And he lives through me. And there's a spontaneity that's easy. The struggle is gone. I so want that for you. I so want that for you. I know it because I want it because God wants it even more. He wants to end all this religious nonsense. Do you know there was no religion in the garden? There was just, you could say, relationship. I want to go deeper. I want to say life. Life well lived. We don't know how long Adam and Eve lived with the Father before they made their terrible mistake. And that's what God is doing again. He's bringing us back to that. He's restoring all things, as it says in Acts chapter 3. This is a season of the restoration of all things. Last thing I'm going to say, John 8:32. Remember the scripture I quoted earlier? People quote it all the time. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free, or make you free. Well, Jesus was teaching the Jews, and what he was teaching them specifically was that I am going to set you free from all the mandates of religion, all the laws that you had to keep, of which there were 714, not just 10. I'm going to set you free. You're going to know me as the truth, and I'm going to set you free from that so that you will not have to labor. At the same time, as you well know, some scriptures have more than one meaning. The other truth that comes out of it is that Jesus is saying to us today, I, who am your truth, who is your truth, am going to set you free from what? Yourself. Yourself. You're a lot of work. All of you are. All of us. Me included. We're a lot of work. It's a lot to live me all by myself. That's why he buried us with him when he went to the grave. And when he came up, he stripped off the old man. And all there should be left is he and me and we are one. That's it. And so what he frees me of, he's freeing you of. All the works of trying to do the right things, think the right way, present yourself, preserve yourself, create your identity, show people how good you are, or how whatever, when in fact Christ is everything. Let him live in us. Don't worry about yourself. Yourself needs to get out of the way. Or we keep creating a kingdom of ourselves. And there's freedom not to drag this old man around. A lot of freedom. Trying to pump him up, lift him up, be something, have people like me, all those other things. When Christ in me takes all that away. I want that for you. You want that? That's what God wants for you. That's what it's all about. You're going to have to make a change in how you perceive what God wants to do. He doesn't want you to do it. He wants to be it in you. He wants to live in you. Not just, you know, sit in the corner waiting for you to call on him when you need him. He's your whole life. The joy of living with Christ surpasses anything you and I have ever accomplished. In a moment when you find out in the littlest thing that what you just experienced, how you thought, how you behaved, how you presented yourself, what you did was Christ in you, through you, and not just you. Oh my God, I can't tell you. You have to experience it. And then you're going to say to me, whoa, it's amazing. It's the only way to live. That's how God intended us to live. So Father God, we thank you. We're going to know you. It isn't to know scriptures, it's to know you and let you experience your life in us as we yield up by faith our daily lives to you. Help us, Holy Spirit, come to this reality. Let us search again the things that we have been hearing today. Trust you, believe that you will live in us, taking us over, making us over. Become the holy body snatcher. Let me give you the glory because of how you live in me. Let me thank you for the things that you do in me that I could never do on my own. We want to thank you for changing our hearts, our attitudes. We don't have to think in terms of, well, I need to be more humble today, because humility dwells in us. As you said, I am meek and lowly. So we ask, we pray, we commit, live in us, Lord, live large, take over, make over, enjoy yourself in us as we enjoy you, as we learn how to live spontaneously with you. Day in and day out, in little things, in large things, in all things. We give you praise and glory for this. Amen and amen. So take some time thinking about these things. Talk to one another. Pray about them. Ask. Look for more information from the Lord on it. Ask him about these things. He will show you. And best of all, if you yield to him, he'll live through you. Amen.